This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. The Trump administration has sidestepped Oregon's courtroom victory to help keep its National Guard from patrolling the streets of Portland, with the White House now federalizing the California National Guard. ABC's senior White House correspondent Selena Wang.
At a gathering of top military leaders this week, Trump suggested using so-called dangerous cities in the U.S. as training grounds for soldiers.
No different than a foreign enemy, but more difficult in many ways because they don't wear uniforms.
The White House is defending the president's move, saying that it is within his authority to send in the troops to protect federal officers in Portland.
California's Governor Gavin Newsom says he's suing the White House over the deployment. Both sides still at an impasse to resolve the government shutdown, which is now in its fifth day, and investigators are searching for the suspects in last night's deadly mass shooting in Montgomery, Alabama, which left two people dead. This is ABC News. It all comes back to a parking dispute. That's what authorities say sparked a stabbing that sent former NFL quarterback Mark Sanchez to the hospital. ABC's Rena Roy has more.
Sanchez is now facing multiple criminal charges, including battery resulting in injury, public intoxication, and unlawful entry of a motor vehicle. The Marion County prosecutor saying this incident should never have happened, and as with any case, will follow the facts and the law wherever they lead.
A probable cause affidavit finds Sanchez allegedly shoved another man who then pepper sprayed Sanchez. A low pressure system brought widespread rainfall to parts of Utah this weekend, leading to flash flooding in Tula County. According to the National Weather Service, Saturday was the second wettest day in history for the Salt Lake City region. And OPEC, the alliance of oil-producing countries, has been raising output all year, and now the group has agreed to boost oil production even more. I'm Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Matner. You're a coffee drinker.
I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning for most of my career. Yeah. You need coffee.
Something.
Or a slap across the face or something. How much coffee do you drink a day? How many cups
not
of coffee?
Not as much as you might think. Maybe 2 16-ounce cups, more or less. Maybe not quite that much some days.
Zahmer, is that true?
I mean, from what I can verify, I don't know what he drinks in the privacy of his own home.
No right. One knows.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matt Nair on air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Getting ready for game two. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where the Cubs and the Brewers held workout sessions at the ballpark before game two of the divisional series. First pitch 8:08 tomorrow night in Milwaukee. Quinn Priester had been expected to start for the Brewers. Manager Pat Murphy has changed his mind.
Murph, what are your pitching plans for tomorrow?
Yeah, Ashby's going to start. I don't know if Priester will be next. I really don't.
The Cubs will start lefty Shota Imanaga. How did they react to that 9-3 loss to the Crew on Saturday? Manager Craig Counsell.
You know, look, the game got away from us early, so it's not like it did, right? It got away from us. So, man, it's a loss, and you move on from it quickly. There's no penalty. It's one loss. Doesn't count for more how you lose. We didn't lose well, but we lost, and you move on. That's how the clubhouse felt.
That's Cubs manager Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms possible. Could see some pockets of heavy rain. Still a bit breezy with lows in the low 50s. Cooler for Monday, highs in the mid-60s. For Monday night, clear and 43. On Tuesday, sunshine with a high around 66. Currently, 78 degrees.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll review the Badgers game at Michigan and also the Brewers taking on the Cubs over the weekend. Where are we at in the NLDS? Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air will join us and talk a little news as well.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Alba along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this TGIF Friday edition, October 3rd, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along back at the old world headquarters at the intersection of State and Fairchild in downtown Madison. Zommers, welcome in to a spectacular fall October day. The day before the Milwaukee Brewers take on the dreaded, the evil Chicago Cubs in the NLDS.
Oh, it's going to be an exciting, I'll say exciting, maybe volatile, maybe dangerous day in the Zommers household tomorrow.
Oh, dangerous in the Zommers household.
Well, yeah, because I and my roommate Parker, big Brewers fans. My roommate Elliot, native Illinoisan, big Cubs fan.
Now, speaking of this, well, maybe we'll play this later on. By the way, Mike Clemens, a great sports reporter, is going to be here at hour two. Maybe we'll do it before. How would you feel if the manager of your team that you cheer for, that you root for, that you love, how would you feel if he was on video saying that his real one love in baseball is the team that you're playing on Saturday? That his heart, his soul, his baseball soul is with the Milwaukee Brewers.
Well, I mean,
and yet he's coaching, managing the Chicago Cubs. How would you feel?
Being a Brewers fan, I feel pretty good.
I wouldn't feel good if I were a Cubs fan. No. I mean, because you're in the back of your mind, you're like, is this some big ploy by Bud Selig just to bring council down here to screw us over? You know, is he going to make the right decision? If push comes to shove, knowing that Pat Murphy was his college coach and that he brought Murph, council did, back to Milwaukee and gave him a job, and the love between these two people, if it push comes, and knowing that Murphy's, you know, got a lot less time left than council does, and if push comes to shove, and if Craig Council has to decide between what's best for the Cubbies or helping out his old coach, Murph, helping out the team that he fell in love with, that he dreamed about being Robin Yount, wouldn't it give you a pause? Wouldn't it give you a little nervousness in the back of your mind?
I think it would. But afterwards, it gives them an out to either say, see, he said he loves the Brewers and we still won, or to say, see, it's that damn Craig Council. It's all his fault.
I don't know. I I'd be a little nervous if I were the Cubbies fan. We'll talk more about that. The Brewers and the Cubs, you can hear it on select stations across the Civic Media Radio Network tomorrow. Hopefully one of yours has been selected. The pregame show, I believe, is at what, 12:30, 1 o'clock, something like that?
I believe so.
And then the game kicks off at 1 or 1:30. We'll figure that out and let you know here in a little bit. You can hear it on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, I'm not sure if RJN's doing it, but WC QM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward, Wisconsin. So those are the places you can hear the game tomorrow. The Brewers taking on the Cubs. First two games are here in Milwaukee. So that's fantastic. Roger watching on Facebook says, reminder, it was 1 year ago today. The Mets defeated the Brewers 5-3 in the wild card series, 2-1. It was also Bob Uecker's final words in the broadcast booth. After the loss, quote, I'm telling you, that one had some sting on it, unquote. You're right, Roger. Sad day. But it's a beautiful day today. For those watching the stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and the like, we've got Uecker's jersey. Well, not his, but my jersey with Uecker, Bob Uecker's name in the back, and the number 8. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, didn't Uecker wear 9? No. He actually wore 8 when he was a professional baseball player. But when Ryan Braun played for the Crew, Brewers, and people wanted to get his, he wore number 8. And so Uecker, being the great guy that he was, said, nah, I don't care. Let Braun have my number. And if people really want my jersey, I mean, just put number 9 on it. Not a big deal. So that's why you see people that have Uecker jerseys, some say 8 and some say 9, but the original number for Bob Uecker was number 8. So we got that in the studio, got the old October baseball shirt on today, the Six Springs Farm Joe Thomas Hall of Fame beef hat on, because coming up at the bottom of this hour, farm director, the fabulous farm babe, as she calls herself, from the Midwest Farm Report, Pam Yonke, is going to be here at 2:35. Cannot wait for that. Pam is going to come to us live from the Midwest Dairy Expo just on the other side of Madison, south side of Madison, at the Alliant Energy Center in Dane County Coliseum. I live in the neighborhood, and boy, the traffic is just crazy. You could hear people over the intercoms if you go out in the back deck there, but lots going on at the World Dairy Expo. Also talk about the tariffs and what effect it's having in agriculture, as Orion Samuelson liked to call it, agriculture. Orion Samuelson. We'll talk a little Orion Samuelson with Pam as well. And also, the unconfirmed reports that Pam Yonke is under heavy consideration to be the defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. We'll ask her, true or not true? We'll ask her all of that.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Yes. And then in hour number 2, what's worse today? And another, our final edition of Green and Gold Text to Win contest.
Multi-state contest.
Thank you. You can win fabulous cash and prizes. Today's the final day. And also tickets to a Green and Gold game in Green Bay. And so we'll tell you, we'll give you the secret keyword in hour number 2 to text in. And then, as we said before, at 3:35, Mike Clemens, Civic Media sports reporter, covering the Brewers today. Lots of press availability. Clemens is there on the ground at AmFam Field covering both the Brewers and the Cubs side of things. He's going to be here with a live report for us at 3:35. So do not miss that. Also, Madison police are confirming that ICE took action here in the city of Madison. We talked a lot about it yesterday in terms of ICE raiding an apartment building, an entire apartment building on the south side of Chicago this week, using, amongst other things, a Black Hawk helicopter, bringing kids out of the apartment, separating them from their parents, and putting zip ties on them, separating people, black people, from what they allege supposed to be immigrants. But as I said yesterday, I'm not exactly sure how you tell an immigrant by the pigment of their skin. So that was what was happening in Chicago yesterday, or this week, or now yesterday, it has come to the city of Madison. But first, want to go to Washington, D.C., where we have an update for you on what's going on Project 2025.
In the year 25, 25, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may find. In the year 3535.
That's right. Ain't gonna need it's an update to Project 2025. A lot of people said it wasn't real last year, saying that no, this was all made up. It wasn't actually going to. Don't worry about Donald Trump. He's just talking. Project 2025 isn't even a thing. But now we're finding out, as a matter of fact, not only is it a thing, but of course it's very, very harmful as real as well. I know Jane and Greg on Matt and Aaron on Air talked about this morning. I want to kind of pick up on that, talk a little bit more about it, because this is important stuff in terms of being aware. Now, we've talked about this before. There's a site called Project 2025 Tracker. Project 2025 Tracker. And overall, according to this tracking app website, 48%. There it is. Zomer's put it up on the screen. Project2025.observer. Project2025.observer. And 48% of Project 2025 has been completed already. So, I mean, we're a long ways away from, well, it's not really real. By agency, of the items in Project 2025, for USAID, the Agency for International Development, they're 100% done. They had six objectives. They're done, primarily because they eliminated it for all intent and purposes. On the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, one objective, 100% done. For the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, one objective, 100% done. In the White House, 13 objectives, 92% are done. In the State Department, 10 objectives, 80% are done. A Project 2025. Now, where did this come from, people say? What? This one, I don't. Where did this come from? Just to keep the record straight, let's go back to last year on 60 Minutes. Nora O'Donnell trying to be smart and interviewing Kamala Harris, who was running for president at the time, saying, well, you know, I mean, Trump has disavowed. You know this, Ms. Madam Vice President. He's disavowed this. Here it is. Here's the cut. Nora O'Donnell and Kamala Harris from last year.
No, that Donald Trump has disavowed Project 2025. He says that is not his campaign plan.
As you know, I am a former prosecutor. His DNA is all over it. All over it. His running mate wrote the foreword to the book of the author of Project 2025. I believe Donald Trump's name appears at least 300 times in Project 2025, and it is a blueprint, a detailed blueprint that is about the danger and the detail of what Donald Trump and his allies plan if he is in the White House again.
Once again, a smart, intelligent female leader in the United States forecasted something, told us something, turned out true. We saw this in 2016, of course, when former Secretary of State and First Lady Hillary Rodham Clinton was running for president. Said, look, Trump is an ally of Putin. This very bad things could happen if this man gets in the White House. Oh, you know, that's just Hillary. That comes from the right. Then on the left, you had people saying, well, you know, Hillary's just become too mainstream for me. We have to send her a message. I'm voting for Jill Stein. A lot of people, including me, said, time out here. I'm a former Republican. This dude is hitting a nerve. He could actually win. You're crazy. It's not going to be that bad. Well, we all would know what happened in Trump 1.0. Then we got to 2024. It couldn't possibly happen again. And they actually put it in writing, Project 2025. As you just heard, Vice President Harris warned us about it. And the right said, that's crazy stuff. That's not going to happen. And the left said, but Gaza and Palestine, and I can't vote for the lesser of two evils, and it's not going to be that bad. Turns out, Madam Vice President Harris was right. We'll tell you the latest from Washington on Project 2025 after this. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now, past the hour of 2 o'clock, at the bottom of the hour, just thereafter, Farm Director, Midwest Farm Report, Pam Yonke, with a live report, live conversation from the World Dairy Expo here in Madison. Always an exciting time of year. Although they, if you ask the livestock, the animals, and maybe some of the humans as well, cooler weather would have been nicer. But it's going to cool down a little bit this weekend here. Talking about Project 2025 and the fact that Kamala Harris, former Vice President Kamala Harris, had warned the American voting public that this was all in print. We talked about it. I know Jane Mattner talked about it. I know Maggie Dawn talked about it. Other people, Pat Kreitlow, other people on this network talked about it. And some people said, yeah, and a lot of people said, no, it's not really going to be that bad. I was talking before the break that on the right, MAGA folks said, you're just making this up. It's not really real because Trump's disavowed it. And on the left, people didn't want to, there were people on the far left who said, particularly young people, college campus people who were like, no, I can't. I literally heard this as I went down one of the protests here on campus at UW-Madison. that they could not vote for Kamala Harris over Donald Trump because it was, quote unquote, the lesser of two evils. And that they were just going to vote for somebody else or stay home. And that is proven in places like Wisconsin, in Dearborn, Michigan, in Pennsylvania, where Democratic turnout in areas that had large populations that were supporting Gaza and Palestine in that last year just didn't vote. So on YouTube, John says the Gaza-Palestinian claim is unfounded and not proven via data. What are you talking about? Well, that's it. That if you, I mean, part, I'm not saying the entire, but part of the reason that Donald Trump got a second term is that people have not turned out, Democrats did not turn out in the same numbers that they did in 2020. And in fact, Republicans made gains. Donald Trump made gains, particularly here in Wisconsin. Let's play a clip that's from CNN doing great work yesterday. This is a little montage of what Donald Trump said a year ago on the campaign trail as he was campaigning for his second term. This is what Trump had to say about his association and knowledge of Project 2025.
Of Trump, he said this morning that he said, I have a meeting today with Russ Vogt of Project 2025 fame. Of course, that was the project that Democrats demonized, went after hard in the campaign, saying, look at this, and they tried to campaign very hard on it. And then Donald Trump, when he was running for the second term, said, well, this Project 2025 thing, I don't really know much about it.
Mm-hmm. Some on the right, severe right, came up with this Project 25, and I don't even know. They are extreme. I mean, they're seriously extreme. But I don't know anything about it. I don't want to know anything about it.
I have nothing to do with Project 2025. That's out there. I haven't read it. I don't want to read it purposely. I'm not going to read it.
Project 2025, I've said 100 times, I know nothing about it. I had nothing to do.
That was Donald Trump last year on the campaign trail, courtesy of CNN. Now today, from the Associated Press, President Donald Trump is openly embracing the conservative blueprint he desperately tried to distance himself from during the 2024 campaign, as one of his architects works to use the government shutdown to accelerate his goals of slashing the size of the federal workforce and punishing Democratic states. In his post on Truth Social yesterday morning, Trump announced he would be meeting with his budget chief, quote, Russ Vogt, he of Project 2025 fame, to determine which of the many Democrat agencies, most of which are a political scam, he recommends to be cut, and whether or not those cuts will be temporary or permanent, unquote. Again, that is from Trump on his Truth Social site. The comments represented a dramatic about-face for Trump, who spent much of last year denouncing Project 2025. The Heritage Foundation's massive proposed overhaul of the federal government, which was drafted by many of his longtime allies and current and former administration officials. Both of Trump's Democratic rivals, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, made the far-right wish list a centerpiece of their campaigns, and a gigantic replica of the book featured prominently on stage at the Democratic National Convention. And now we have Russ Vogt basically, for all intent, I don't want to say running the government, but you had Republican leaders yesterday in Congress saying, we can't really control this. And they're using the government shutdown that Trump and the Republicans are largely responsible for to have the opportunity now to extend executive powers of Trump to not just lay people off in federal government, but give them pink slips. And many on the Democratic side are saying, well, you know, it's like last time, it'll only be temporary and the courts will say you have to be rehired. Well, put yourself in a place of a federal worker. If you are fired, are you going to hang around and just knit for 3 or 4 months while it goes to the courts and then say, okay, I guess I'll go back to my job now? Folks have real things, bills they have to pay. And this is extraordinarily dangerous. And we see now that Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, and others were right. It's why I was so passionate on this show last year, trying to bring this out and say this is what's going to happen if this guy gets a second term. And here we are. Going to come back, turn a page. Farm news is next to the Midwest Farm Report, and then director Pam Jahnke will be here live with us, joining us from the World Dairy Expo here in Madison, Wisconsin. Don't go anywhere. Farm Talk is next, and maybe some Packers as well. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. The Trump administration has sidestepped Oregon's courtroom victory to help keep its National Guard from patrolling the streets of Portland, with the White House now federalizing the California National Guard. ABC's senior White House correspondent Selena Wang.
At a gathering of top military leaders this week, Trump suggested using so-called dangerous cities in the U.S. as training grounds for soldiers.
No different than a foreign enemy, but more difficult in many ways because they don't wear uniforms.
The White House is defending the president's move, saying that it is within his authority to send in the troops to protect federal officers in Portland.
California's Governor Gavin Newsom says he's suing the White House over the deployment. Both sides still at an impasse to resolve the government shutdown, which is now in its fifth day, and investigators are searching for the suspects in last night's deadly mass shooting in Montgomery, Alabama, which left two people dead. This is ABC News.
Getting ready for game two. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where the Cubs and the Brewers held workout sessions at the ballpark before game two of the divisional series. First pitch 8:08 tomorrow night in Milwaukee. Quinn Priester had been expected to start for the Brewers. Manager Pat Murphy has changed his mind.
Murph, what are your pitching plans for tomorrow?
Yeah, Ashby's going to start. I don't know if Priester will be next. I really don't.
The Cubs will start lefty Shota Imanaga. How did they react to that 9-3 loss to the Crew on Saturday? Manager Craig Counsell.
You know, like the game got away from us early, so it's not like it did, right? It got away from us. So, man, it's a loss, and you move on from it quickly. There's no penalty. It's one loss. Doesn't count for more how you lose. We didn't lose well, but we lost, and you move on. That's how the clubhouse felt.
That's Cubs manager Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Peaky Blinders is the gift that keeps on giving to its loyal fans. Netflix and the BBC have announced that the popular show about the Shelby crime gang is getting a 2-season sequel, according to Screen Rant. The period drama, created by Stephen Knight, will have 6 episodes in each season that will air on BBC One in the UK and Netflix worldwide. The new seasons will pick up after the Peaky Blinders movie, also written by Knight, called The Immortal Man. There is no release date yet for the film, which stars Cillian Murphy, Stephen Graham, and Rebecca Ferguson. There were rumors that the movie would be the end of the franchise, but that no longer appears to be the case. Knight says that the show will follow a new generation of Shelbys in the sequel. The Immortal Man will act as a bridge between the original show, which ran for 6 seasons, and the new iteration. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms possible. Could see some pockets of heavy rain. Still a bit breezy with lows in the low 50s. Cooler for Monday, highs in the mid 60s. For Monday night, clear and 43. On Tuesday, sunshine with a high around 66.
Right now, 71 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly.
At what point are we as a society going to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, something's wrong here? This is just the latest attack on women, on trying to control our bodies. They want women to have more babies. They don't want us to have birth control. They don't want us to get abortions. They don't want us to take medications. They want us to be in pain. They don't want us to have hospitals to be able to go to. They're defunding all of our rural hospitals.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear.
Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Pat Kreitlow. On Monday, we'll talk about one of Donald Trump's more puzzling budget cuts impacting the education of deaf and blind students in Wisconsin. For real.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I tell her, baby, 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 I'm a fireball.
Want to know how you get up and milk cows early in the morning? Get on that tractor and get behind a microphone. You play music like that. That is off the Spotify playlist of our next guest. She is the iconic, I just heard, celebrating her 35th year at World Dairy Expo. And, of course, the director of the Midwest Farm Report, which you can hear every day at the bottom of each hour on this program. The one, the only, the self-proclaimed fabulous farm babe, Pam Jahnke, joins us live. Pam, how are you?
I'm all right, Todd. And it's not self-proclaimed. That was a title given to me when I first came to Madison by the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. At that time, there was a sports announcer named the Sports Babe. She was one of the first nationally syndicated female sports broadcasters. And she was in the habit of using drops, which are so common in, you know, radio, especially then. And she also got some of the hottest sports stars to come on the radio before it was really cool. So they called her the Sports Babe, and then the Farm Bureau started taking me around. At that time, you had to go out and meet your audience, yeah, literally, because there was no such thing as cell phones or laptops or social media. And when they'd introduce me in meetings, they'd introduce us as our Farm Babe, and then it turned into Fabulous Farm Babe. So I can't get away from it. It's my truck. It's my website. It's social media. Now I can't get away from it.
Well, I only said self-proclaimed because, you know, things change, and I grew up in a different era, but now if I call a female person a babe, you get emails, why are you doing that? And it's like, look, I'm not saying it. This is, you know, she is the one that's using it, and I'm not putting this on her.
Yes. No, it's funny. And in my audience, we have a slightly different look at things like that. Like, I just came from World Dairy Expo, and people don't know my name, but they know I'm the Fabulous Farm Babe. So I have a slightly different litmus test when it comes to using the phrase.
It's, I grew up in an era where you use nicknames like that. It's no big deal, but, you know, things move on.
Yeah. Well, and I'm in Madison, and you'd think 35 years in Madison, you'd think I would pick up a sensitivity to some of that. And I'm just still a redneck farm kid from North Wisconsin.
And that's part of why I love you, because I grew up in Richland Center in Southwest Wisconsin. And so I think we have some of the same DNA in terms of enjoying rural Wisconsin and just enjoying life. Let's talk a little bit about the big doings here. Speaking of how my grandparents used to talk, this week, wrapping up the World Dairy Expo. I live about four blocks away. And what's really cool for me is sitting out on my back deck and at night or in the afternoons, hearing over the loudspeaker, you know, some of the announcements at the World Dairy Expo. And I'm like, wow, that sounds, you know, I can see the top of the Coliseum from my balcony.
Oh, man. Yeah, you are definitely within earshot, especially this week. In fact, one of the challenges that I have broadcasting out at World Dairy Expo or doing my television segments is I have to time it so that they actually have cows in the ring and that they're judging. Oh, yeah. Otherwise, when the class gets done, they start announcing the top 10 winners of away from the loudspeakers as best you can, because that show will go until at least 4 o'clock, probably 4:30 this afternoon. That's when they'll name the supreme champion of World Dairy Expo. Mm-hmm. When I was out there, I was just there a minute ago, and now everybody's starting to pivot, both the exhibitors as well as the people that have cattle are starting to get in their mind frame how they want to get these animals home. You know, Todd, you and I are well aware of the weather that Madison, Dane County had been enjoying. It's wonderful, But it's hot for a cow. Mm-hmm. It's hot for a cow that's under some stress. You know, she's in a different place. She's being handled by a lot of different people to go into the ring. And now for some of these guys, I talked to a buddy of mine. His name is Steve Maddox. He's from Ruin Bay in, in California. Mm-hmm. And he has 7 cows that he is going to put on the truck just as soon as he can. He will be on the belt probably about 5:30 this afternoon. Goal is to try to drop.
I think, Pam, we're kind of losing you. Break it up just a little bit. I'm not sure if it's on our end or on your end, but it looks like maybe you're back now. You froze up for a sec. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, last thing we heard was the California part.
Saying, He's got 7 cows that he is going to put on the truck and be on the belt line with other traffickers. And his goal is to try to make sure that he gets those cows through Las Vegas by tomorrow morning. He said if he can't get those cows through Las Vegas tomorrow morning, he may alter the route and go north into the Rockies because of these temperatures. The cows have all the water they want. They have the trailer is rigged up so he can milk them on the trailer.
Wow.
But the temperatures, if this heat stays, shall we say, unseasonably warm, then he may have to deviate and make sure those cows are a little bit more comfortable farther north.
We're talking to Pam Jahnke, director of the Midwest Farm Report, which you can hear every afternoon and really all day long across the Civic Media Radio Network. Pam Jahnke here is with us live. Pam, tell folks that might not be, or explain them if you could, please. Those that might not be as aware, they're kind of, well, cows coming to Madison, what's the big deal? But, I mean, this is a huge deal. It's really the Emmy or the Academy Awards for the World Dairy. Right. It's an international event. It's economic. Explain what this actually is and what it means to Wisconsin to have it here.
Absolutely. So this show, I just was looking at one of the plaques today. In 2016, so that's what, 9 years ago, they celebrated the 50th anniversary of World Dairy Expo. The show started here, has grown here, is remained here, and has long-term agreement to stay here. That's part of the reason why we saw the economic infusion for both Pavilion 1, Pavilion 2, the New Holland Center, even expansions with the Expo Hall, was keep World Dairy Expo here. It uses all 164 acres of the Alliant Energy Center grounds. It is the number one with a bullet economic driver for that facility and for a lot of Dane County. You are talking about, they'll give us numbers as far as general attendance and things like that probably this afternoon, maybe tomorrow or Monday, but somewhere in the neighborhood of 60,000 guests that have been through Madison. And when I talked with one of the dairy guys from upstate New York, Middleborough, New York, he brought 14 cows from Middleborough, New York, which is up by the Finger Lakes. And he said last year, for the cows and the 10 to 17 people that have to take care of those cows for 12 days, the money he spent, $90,000. That was just for the opportunity to be a part of the show. His hotel room bill was $15,000. Now, that's Dane County money. They weren't going any farther than that. And that gives you a sense of the commitment these people make to wanting to be a part of the show. And I said to him, what's your payback, Jason? And he said, well, the payback is he remembered, I can't remember the year now. I want to say like 10 years ago, one of his young heifers did very well in her class. Now, remember, they had 3,600 animals entered to be a part of World Dairy Expo this year. Probably ended up with I want to say around 2,500 that actually showed. His one heifer did very well in one class of all those animals, and the genetic interest and sales that one animal drew because she placed so well at World Dairy Expo helped to pay his travel bill and all the other investments that he'd made. So it's kind of like, I don't want to say cocaine, that would be not a very good connotation, but it's kind of like that, you're addicted to salty sweet, or you like your gambling or whatever. Yeah. Once you get a little taste of success, you get a little bit of the vig, then you really want to keep playing. You want to come back and do it again and do it again. Plus it's a lot of community. You know, if, like I said, I've been going to this show 35 years professionally since I came to Madison as a farm broadcaster, but I grew up in dairy. I judged FFA, or when I was in FFA, I judged dairy cattle in the center ring. That was part of our competitive events. So I've known about this show my entire life, but it's the people. You know, you come back year after year and you stall up, you know, your cows are next to people that you grew up with, your kids grew up with. It's generational. Then you talk to the staff. You know, Lisa Benke, who's the media director for World Dairy Expo, was a former Alice in Dairyland. Her and I have been on all kinds of agriculture committees. We're the same age. I mean, it's like a family reunion. And I know there's a lot of people that come to the show. Yeah, the cows, obviously. But it's really to touch base and stay connected with those people that you otherwise only get a chance to see once a year. It's hard to help people not connected with the synergy of agriculture. You know, we are a small family in many ways. It's hard for people that have never experienced that to understand. But for those of us that have had a taste, we will rabidly fight back to get there again next year.
One of our viewers on YouTube right now, Cornell, tuning in, saying simply in all caps, God bless the dairy farmers. Thanks, Cornell. Appreciate that. Isn't that the truth? We're talking with Pam Jahnke, director of the Midwest Farm Report, about the World Dairy Expo, amongst other things. And Pam, my personal grandparents were dairy farmers, Holstein. I think they never milked more than 40 head, probably had another 12 to 15 heifers on the farm. Yep. And, you know, they retired. My dad didn't want to do it. I was too young to take over at that time. And so they sold out in 1983, I think, or so. Talk a couple of minutes about, just because I think a lot of people watch media and they say, oh, what's going on with this quote unquote corporate farming? I hate that word because, you know, my grandparents never had a vacation. They were there 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And unless you form a quote unquote corporation with brothers, sisters, siblings, neighbors, you know, you just can't do it anymore. And it's America's Dairyland, but we're seeing fewer and fewer farms, but still kind of keeping up when it comes to milk production.
Right. Yeah. Well, and like I keep railing against that corporate farm mantra, because that is completely incorrect in Wisconsin. Remember, 99% of our farms in Wisconsin are still family owned and operated. But to your point, some of these farms are really successful because sons and daughters are coming back. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? It was one thing when they were high schoolers living under your roof. Now they've got a family of their own. And to make sure that they stay part of the farming operation, you've got to grow so that they can pay their bills and stay with you. So when you drive past a farm, do not make any decisions or judgment from the windshield. Mm-hmm. You don't know a thing about that farm. You just see a big barn. It doesn't, you know, big farm equipment. That very well could be father, mother, son, daughter-in-law, daughter, son-in-law, grandkids, brothers. I mean, there are all kinds of arrangements that are keeping our Wisconsin farms going. And to your point, it really irritates me when people say, oh, we're losing farms in Wisconsin. No, stop. That drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. We're not losing farms in Wisconsin. What happens is people do, as you said, decide to retire out of the business of farming. Could be milk cows, could be something. But those cows that they milked go to the neighbor's farm. Mm-hmm. Because that boy went to high school with my kids. The land, that guy is going to cash rent to keep me and Ma on the farm and comfortable. I may drive tractor for him. Maybe they're going to use my barn for heifers. Maybe I want to run some beef. But that phrase, we're losing farms in Wisconsin. We are not losing farms. People are doing just what all of us do. You work hard, then you want to retire. Mm-hmm. You want to have a little bit slower paced life, or you want something, you know, want to do something different. Those cows go to a neighbor. They generally all stay in Wisconsin. The land continues to be farmed so long as, you know, there's not something else out there that caters to the location or what have you. And a lot of those people that retired, I just saw at World Dairy Expo. Now they're volunteers. Now they're helping in the show ring, because you can't give it up. Right. You just can't give it up.
No, you can't give up. Listen to Pam Jahnke every morning across Civic Media and in the afternoon as well. We're going to come back, talk more with Pam Jahnke, and answer the question. Where did she find Ben Jarbo? And is he the long-lost son of Orion Samuelson? That and more on the other side. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Concerned residents in the town of Stella near Rhinelander packed their town hall to demand answers from the EPA and DNR about PFAS contamination. The toxic forever chemicals have been found at high levels in drinking water and waterways across the area. The DNR says that contamination came from industrial sludge spread on farm fields by two nearby paper companies. There is currently no requirement that companies spreading sludge on crops must disclose whether it contains PFAS. Wisconsin's coastal communities are getting more money to help improve and protect shorelines. In celebration of Coastal Awareness Month, the Wisconsin Department of Administration is handing out $1.3 million in Wisconsin Coastal Management Program grants to 35 communities across our state. Right now on the Defender podcast, the amazing story of one Wisconsin food that was banned, burned, disappeared from our plates. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Matt Nair on Air.
We are delighted to be joined by the executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. Grant Holly is here.
We account for about 67% of the country's cranberries. And then Wisconsin itself, because the cranberry originated here, makes a product that is really good for the environment. And as we're finding out more and more, it's really good for you. Boy, I sound like a commercial.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner talking about this new piece of legislation in regards to housing. And who have you reached across the aisle and worked with on this issue?
I worked with folks like Rep. Armstrong, who our districts couldn't look any different. But when you center the actual experiences of your district, not your political parties, but the things that people need, there's a lot more alignment and possibility when that is the centerpiece.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Morning and all day long across the Civic Media Radio Network, Midwest Farm Report, and Pam Yonke, fabulous farm babe. Find her at MidwestFarmReport.com and also fabulous farm babe on all the socials. She joins us live and also a Packer fan. All right, Pam, lots to get to, and a lot of time to go, so let's get to it quickly here. Number one, are the rumors true after two losses by our beloved Green Bay Packers? The rumors are that you are being recruited to be the new defensive coordinator. True or not true?
There are many people that know me and have worked with me that would not be surprised to know I was a candidate.
I know.
Right now, I'm currently fully engaged in the Midwest Farm Report and very happy to simply act as a coach from my backyard at Pambo in Green Bay.
And that's real. You have a place called Pambo in Green
Bay.
That's
real.
Yeah, I know it
is. That's real.
I'm not freaking out too much yet, but boy, I mean, just it's kind of like the Badgers. Like, I don't mind a loss once in a while, but how it gets there, what I mean?
But, and not to swallow up time, but see, I'm not a Badger. I live in Wisconsin. I appreciate the university and that, but I didn't go to school in Madison. I went to school at River Falls. The Packers are a part of my DNA. And so help me, if they're going to continue to play games at 7:20 in the evening, for me, who has to be rolling, my alarm goes off at 2, you have got to cut it out because I have strained eyes from watching, trying to sleep with one and watch the game with the other until 10:05. And come on, then we got to go to overtime. And then you're going to give me a stroke by making it final. I'm just like, this is what's going on out there, as one of my farm broadcasters said.
And then at the end of it, it's like kissing your sister, a 40-40 tie. What's up with that?
I know.
Right. Quickly, it is national. Is it National or State Pork Producers Month in October? Got to give a shout out to our
October pork, is National.
National Pork yeah, Producers Month.
National right. Pork. Yeah. And I can tell you why. I can tell you why we picked October. I don't want to slow your roll, but I am a plethora of that kind of knowledge, Todd.
I know you are. That's why I asked. So, but shout out to, I've known a lot of great pork producers, as they say, the other white meat. And I think it's a great reminder to, you know, we play all over the state with, well, I got my Joe Thomas Six Springs Hall of Fame beef hat on right now. Whether it's pork, whether it's beef, prices are going up. But boy, howdy. I mean, I just went together with a couple of friends of mine and we bought a half a steer and Hosley Meats down in New Glarus. Go to your local locker, go to your local producer. You're always going to be a winner that way.
Yeah, and I'll be happy to hook you up. I mean, you want to really live by local, then get your arms around a quarter of a beef, half a beef. I bought a steer at the Dane County Fair that we have processed. That's the way farm kids are used to buying things, but I'm happy to share that knowledge and insight with anybody that's interested.
No, absolutely. All right, the quick question here, because I love when he came on board, I'm like, where did this guy come from? Because if you're of a certain age, the name Orion Samuelson, the Southwest Wisconsin guy who became really the Paul Harvey of ag broadcasting. I hear a little bit of Orion Samuelson and Ben Jarboe. I could listen to him read a phone book. Where did you find this guy?
Yeah, the kid's from a farm down by Paxton, Illinois, South Central Illinois. Went to school for agribusiness. He's been with us. He'll be coming up on 2 years in 2026. And the funny part was he is so incredibly polite. For the first 4 weeks that he worked for me, everything was ma'am. And I said to him, you know, my name is Pam, right? Oh, he said, I would never be so forward. I said, you know what, sweetie? I appreciate that. My name is Pam. My mother is ma'am. Stop it. Don't be doing it anymore. But he is a big, tall drink of water with a blaze of red hair. And he used to pitch. He was a pitcher in college. So it's been a hoot. And he has got a certain gait. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the South, but like you said, you could listen to him talk.
Yeah.
Because he's got a certain cadence that is far different than Yatter Hay, Northeast Wisconsin here.
Well, and as you well know, I think a good broadcaster is, you know, look at some of the great sports broadcasters. They were from the South or they're a little bit different. It sets you apart and it makes you want to listen to them.
Yes. You know, yes. So that's exactly it. And my latest edition is from Iowa State, and she's got just a little different, not accent necessarily, but. Yeah, we want to keep you engaged. If you get tired of hearing the old farm babe ad nauseum, I'll give you a couple different varieties of voices that you can lean in on.
Look, we'll never get tired of you, Pam. Our time is almost up. Just a couple of minutes left here. I'm not going to play the cut, but I just want to ask you directly. Lots of news on tariffs right now, and not to take it into partisan terms, but I think a lot of people are confused. Why is there a couple of $1 billion in bailout, or was it $20 billion, I think, in bailout money being proposed right now? I think the question is, if you didn't want to go to St. Paul, why did you get on the train? Why are we talking about bailouts? Why did they just not do the tariffs?
Oh, he's right now the $20 billion or whatever number they come up with. They still haven't decided. But that is designed to basically be in the face of China and their lack of purchasing U.S. soybeans. They're buying it from everybody else, but they have not bought a bushel from us. And basically, my commodity brokers say they're going to have to buy from us. But in the meantime, it's how low are we going to get that price? So again, they haven't decided on a final number, but most of the money that will be announced is going to be to offset just soybeans, just China. That's one. Otherwise, there's a lot of places in the world that have seen more robust business with U.S. agriculture. We're at our cheese exports in Wisconsin are 30% higher than they were a year ago. We're having a record year, and that cheese is going all over the place. No tariffs are ever being discussed in that arena. So that one commodity is what's driving that conversation. One commodity, one country. that's where it's all focused right now.
About 35, 40 seconds left, Pam Jahnke. What have I not asked you? You want to make sure people know about Wisconsin agriculture or the
Packers. Just appreciate it. Be careful. When you look, that takes too long. When you are driving around Wisconsin, whether it's rural or suburban, please be careful around that big farm equipment. Yes. And try to keep, if you're going to wave, let's use all five fingers around that farm equipment, because those people are just trying to get their job done. They just have to use this weather and try to get the job done. And when they're done, they'll get out of your way. They don't want to be in your way any more than you want them there. So please, let's use all five fingers and be safer on that big equipment.
Pam Jahnke, thank you very much. Find her at Midwest.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dabosky. Oregon and California are fighting a new attempt by President Trump to send California's National Guard into Oregon. It comes after a Trump-appointed federal judge blocked Oregon's National Guard from deploying. The judge found this weekend that the federalization action by President Trump was illegal.
Oregon and California are now joining up in their request to ask a court to stop President Trump from sending federalized California National Guard troops to Portland, Oregon, after ruling that sending Oregon's National Guard troops in was unnecessary and an illegal use of the military. Oregon Attorney General Dan Rayfield.
The judge's order was not some minor procedural point for the president to work around like my 14-year-old does when he doesn't like my answers.
They're now asking the court to block the deployment of the California Guard to Portland. Alex Stone, ABC News.
And still no deal to fund the government as the federal shutdown now stands at 5 days. This is ABC News. More airstrikes.